Our gospel lesson today is from Mark 10, verse 17 to 31. Friends, hear this word of the Lord for you today. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before Jesus. And he asked him, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, not commit adultery, not steal, not bear false witness, not defraud. Honor your father and mother." The man said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him and loving him, said, "You lack one thing. Go and sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the man heard this, he was shocked. He went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at his words. So Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." And they were astounded. They said to one another, "Who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible." And Peter began to say to him, "Look, Jesus, we have left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, or fields for my sake and the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. Many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Be with us, Lord, in our minds and in our hearts. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So most of us, if someone were to ask you, "Are you rich?" Most of us would say, "No." And yet, as Americans, we are literally the wealthiest people on the planet, right? America controls 20% of the world's wealth with less than 5% of the world's population. 1 billion people in the world don't have access to clean water, but the average American uses 400 to 600 liters of water per person a day. Every 7 seconds, somewhere in the world, a child under 5 dies of hunger, and Americans throw away about 14% of the food that we buy. Nearly 1 billion people in the world live on less than a dollar a day, but the average American teenager and family spending on teenagers spends nearly $150 a week. 40% of people in the world lack basic sanitation, while 49 million diapers are thrown away in America every day. 1.6 billion people have no electricity. 100 million children are denied education. Most people in the world don't have a car, and many Americans own 3. 1 in 7 children have to go to work every single day to survive. And we spend more annually on trash bags than nearly half the world does on goods. We are wealthy, but we are also in serious debt. The average American last year owed over $16,000 on credit cards, and some people tend to live above their means, but many people are doing that to get by. The cost of living has outpaced the income over the past 13 years. The income's gone up 28%, the cost of living has gone up 30%. Medical prices have increased by 57%, and food and beverages are up by 36% in that same span. Just making more money doesn't mean you're not in debt. Sometimes it means you're more in debt, and it's this vicious cycle. So we've got riches, and we've got money problems, and then we've got Jesus, who says, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven." What? What if we are the rich? What are we going to do? And if we have money, which we all do, what if we have to look at it and talk to God about it? Now, I told you that today was going to be a little bit different in many ways. But who are the ushers today? Who are the ushers? Who's helping? Bill and Patty, you're always helping. Come help me. Usually you come to church and you put money in. Today, I'm giving you money. Give everybody one. And it's not a lot, but it is something. And it's really not just about the dollar. It's about what it says on the back of it. The small print. What does it say? It says, "In God we trust." What does that mean if we take that seriously? How do we trust God with our money? What does it look like in our lives to really trust God, not just with this dollar, but with all of our dollars? What does that mean? It's something for us to think about today.
How we trust God. How we tell the difference between a need and a want. We should probably start with Jesus, because he had a lot to say about money. Jesus knew that even if we don't love it, it has power over us, and we get pulled down by it. We have that temptation to see our wants as needs. We get stressed out trying to make it stretch. Jesus knew that kind of stress. He was an itinerant preacher who relied upon the generosity of others to live. And did you know that he actually talked about money more than any other topic besides the kingdom of God? Nearly 1 out of 10 verses in the Gospels have something to do with money and our stuff. It's tempting to take Jesus seriously in other areas, but ignore what he has to say about money. But deep down, we know he's right. Money has a chain around our hearts so often. And whether we have plenty or things are tight, money is sometimes a weight that just weighs us down. So what if Jesus is telling us how to avoid that trap? What if Jesus has an answer for the problems that we face, no matter what's going on with our money? And what if the answer is very simple? What if the answer is just let go? Give. What if giving is actually the path to freedom? What if it's the way out of temptation? What if it's the way to find contentment and even gratitude? And what if that's the point of today's story? What if giving is God's answer to all our money troubles? It makes sense, because God is the greatest giver, and we are called all throughout Scripture to follow God. Giving is as old as creation, when God showered humanity with so many gifts and God's people responded. Abraham gave a tenth of what he had to honor God. Moses and the Israelites were asked by God to bring the first fruits of the harvest to God in the tabernacle. In biblical times, a tithe of 10% was to be set aside first thing from the very best that you had to support God's work and those in need. And that idea continues today. Jesus spoke constantly about the need of believers to give. He said things in Matthew 6 like, "Do not store up treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." He said in Luke 12, "From those whom much has been given, much will be required." He said, "Be on your guard against greed, for your life does not consist of possessions." And then there are the really difficult stories, like the rich man and Lazarus, a beggar who lived outside this palace of the rich man, who gave only the crumbs off his plate to this poor man, and then was surprised to learn that he ended up in hell begging Lazarus to come down from heaven and help him. And the rich man today who wants to inherit eternal life, and Jesus says, "You're lacking one thing. Sell all you have, give it to the poor, and follow me." And it was too much for him. He walked away What if Jesus' answer to money problems is to give, to be generous? And what if his words are not just for rich, and not just if you have some to spare, and not once your finances are all in order? He's the one that pointed out that a poor widow's two small coins given to the temple meant more than all the rich people's offerings put together, because she gave what she had, a sacrifice, an offering. What does it mean to us to give what is costly? Not what's left over, not when we get it all figured out. God is not in the business of fundraising. Our giving is more than money. It's about an offering of our heart. This story today, some think Jesus' words are too harsh. Is he saying we have to all give everything away to the poor? No. He was talking to that man for a reason. And Jesus doesn't say that money is evil. The Bible doesn't say money is evil. The problem is trusting in the money instead of trusting in God. The second problem is being way too concerned about ourselves and not enough about others. Notice that the rich man came forward and said, "What must I do?" And then he said, "I followed all these commandments." The rich man was all about himself and his salvation. No wonder Jesus told him to give money to the poor. Jesus knows giving. It's a path to freedom. And when we think about our own giving, the truth is our need to give is way greater than any church's need to receive. Sure, we all want to be responsible and help God's work, but God isn't about balancing budgets. God is about growing us in faith. Even if the church had millions, we'd still need to give, because God is a giver and we are called to do the same. It shows our gratitude. It shows our dependence. Winston Churchill once wisely said, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." And Jesus reiterates that again and again and again. So how do we get this giving life? Jesus says it's easier for that camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. But what does he say right after that? He says, "For mortals, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible." That's where we get the strength and power to give anything. God is the one who opens up our hearts and our wallets. God is the one who shows us the power and the joy of giving. And it's like we heard today in Hebrews 4. We need only approach the throne of grace with boldness to find mercy and help in our time of need. And sometimes we need God's help to give. When we do, you know what happens. Lives are changed. We could talk all day about lives being changed by what people have given, but it is especially our lives that are changed. If you want to see the effect of what you give, you need only walk inside the church, or into Owosso Community Resources, or come by the Youth Cafe, or stop by Meals on Wheels, because your gifts are changing lives in all of those places. Look at the dollar again. In God we trust. What would it take for us to really do that? And what if we were to take this dollar as a reminder to let go and let God be in charge of what we have, so we can trust and give? That is the good news of the gospel today. Our God is a giver. We are called to do the same. It's the path to freedom, joy, and peace, whether we're rich or poor. It's all found through giving. And to that, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed, which can be found on page 35 of your hymnal.